What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in to the Lineup Logic Podcast. We are coming at you with a Tuesday slate breakdown for NBA DFS, FanDuel, DraftKings. And I got a special guest on the line. It's been a long overdue conversation, but I like to, you know, he came on last year, and it was a smashing fun. So we had to have him back. Of course, Big Bear DFS on Twitter. Dan, we can call it. Can I call you Dan?
Absolutely. Okay. I feel weird having the moniker out there. I mean, I'm more than happy to go by my real name, but I feel like that's kind of what sold that and all the fire emojis, of course. But
That's right. There's always plenty of fire emojis for this podcast. But of course, add Big Bear DFS, lineup provider, year-round player as well, and a friend of the show. Dan, good to have you on, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. It's been a while, Sean. You know, I appreciate your work. I love the content that you put out and how much you help the community. And, you do great stuff. And I love partnering with anybody who is just generally a good person and they know their stuff. So
I appreciate that, pal. Well, I'm happy to have you on because, I mean, aside from being a generally good dude, you're on a heater right now. So, if people need some hot tips right now, Dan gets a, you get these little streaks running, man. And every morning I wake up and I see these tweets and I'm like, God damn it, Dan, what is going on here? Every night printing money. So
I am so streaky. It's crazy. Sometimes I wish I wasn't because honestly, my nature is just kind of risk averse. I'm a cash player. I'm not here to, win the lottery ticket. I'm like, if you've ever watched Rounders, I am Kanish. I am just grinding it out, and so I love the double ups, but
I have not seen Rounders in years. I got to put that back on the list. It's a great movie. All right, dude. Well, we're going to go game by game. We're going to lump it all in here. We're going to go game by game. We'll talk line. We'll talk the spread. We're missing a couple spreads, but not many. Of course, we have the big news of the Clipper Piston trade, which is bananas.
I was going to jump in and totally throw you off your game with that. I'm glad you brought that up. I was just at a Euchre League, and for those of you who aren't lucky enough to be in the Midwest, that's just like a card game.
Can you translate for those who do not live in the Midwest?
It's just like a fun little card game, no big deal. My wife and I go and we play with a bunch of people at this local brewery. They have free pizza, they have great beer. And I saw that trade come across. I wasn't looking at my phone, just kind of like a night out with the wife. And I see the trade come across the TV and I was like, what in the hell is going on here? That has to be a joke.
I know. Part of me thinks that they're trying to get out ahead of blowing it up, that there's no reason to delay the inevitable. Maybe they got a good offer for DJ on the table. They're ready to move him soon.
That's what I'm thinking.
I have no idea.
And they just got Blake all that salary. And so like, it's a nice dump. I don't know. I hate saying this, but honestly, the last few trades I've seen are legitimate win-wins. And I think this is probably one of them. I mean, Detroit gets a guy that can really help them out in the playoffs. They are a playoff team in the East. And Bradley has been beyond disappointing for them from what we saw with the Celtics to now. Tobias Harris has been great. Don't get me wrong.
Well, but I think not losing much. I think for the Clippers, Tobias Harris is younger. If they want to go to a direction to a rebuild, he's not going to kill you, And Blake is on a monster number, but Van Gundy's in win now mode. I mean, I don't think he has much time left. Like, he's not going to keep this job if he doesn't actually get through the playoffs and make it interesting. So
that's a good point.
Who knows? We can talk about that when we get to those games here. Let's jump in. We're going to go with the lowest total of the night here, all the way up to the highest, keep things interesting towards the end. And it all starts in San Antonio. Denver is going to go down there. The Nuggets are in San Antonio, 201 total in this one. Ugh. San Antonio favored by 6.5, which is, that's a heck of a number. Mm-hmm. You're obviously going to favor the Spurs at home, but that's a whole lot. That means Vegas really does not like the Nuggets on the back-to-back here, which I don't love the Nuggets on a back-to-back here either. They got Boston at home tonight. They'll get on the plane. They'll go down to San Antonio. I play a Spurs team. that's tough in all phases. So
that's a rough back to back.
I don't know how much I like the. Yeah, I don't really love the. I don't love. That's a rough team on the back to back. Absolutely right. And San Antonio coming off of 2 days of rest. They played Sunday in Sacramento. So I don't know. I'm looking a little bit more at the San Antonio side of things. The first guy that comes to mind is Deontay Murray. Do you have any interest in him, Dan?
I do, actually. I mean, I really like him. You know, people were giving me some flack, I guess, when he kind of exploded the other night and he was chalk. So if you faded him, that was really tough because he was pretty cheap. But given FanDuel's affinity for these defensive stats and the extra point and stuff, it's very difficult to play these, right? And to like actually research and study blocks and steals and whatnot. But I think it can be done. It's not as predictable a stat as like obviously minutes or field goal attempts or anything. But, you know, Denver guards are not that good. They're going to be on a back to back. Deontay Murray is long and he is mean on defense if he needs to be. And if Pop has gotten into him, you know, if he feels like he needs to go out there and prove something. Tony Parker recently came out and basically said, like, you know, they had this whole thing, I think, before the Cleveland game where they were saying that Parker's kind of given him the reins and that he's willing to come off the bench now. And so it's Deontay's kind of backcourt to lead. Yeah. So I like him a lot. I love the matchup against Denver in general, but you put all those situational elements into this, and I like him even more.
Yeah, I think that's a sharp call. He's at home. He's got a nice situation going up against Jamal Murray, who just really hasn't proven anything defensively.
Horrible
so
on defense.
I think Murray,
good shooter.
Yeah,
but bad on defense.
Murray for the price mid range guy, I think he's interesting. LaMarcus Aldridge, though, I think is interesting here. I always like LaMarcus at home. Mm-hmm. Coming off of a little bit of rest in a game that should be tight because he's not a guy who's ever necessarily had to play in a high pace, rapid scoring environment. He's very consistent with his line. I could see myself, you know, if I had the money, if I wanted to be a little bit different, I might go to LaMarcus, but I don't think he's a must have. Anything on the Denver side of things for you here?
I don't think so. Jokic is just a little bit too expensive, as much as I love the guy. And, you know, their shooting guards are always attractive to me. I'm really honestly a big fan of Gary Harris. And Will Barton has stepped his game up this year, especially in the absence of Jamal Murray at times. But I think both of them are just a little priced out for me. And so I think I'm probably fading Denver unless something crazy happens.
Yeah. If we get Wilson Chandler scratched again, I think you could go back to Will Barton here, expecting him to play a lot of good minutes at the three, but that would be about it.
Yeah.
Equally boring, except for actually, well, I say boring, but there's actually a couple interesting plays you could use here in New Orleans. I put this game here. We don't have a total for Sacramento, New Orleans, but I put it here expecting Sacramento, New Orleans. My guess would be somewhere like 212, 214, to something like that. No serious injuries here, but obviously the implications of the Boogie injury coming out. We saw a really, really nice performance from Etuan Moore the other night. And obviously, everybody knows Anthony Davis is going to take a massive step forward. Etuan Moore also took a nice step forward. Drew Holiday took a nice step forward. Those guys seem to be filling in. But Dan, let me ask you about some of these other peripheral guys who are still going to be relatively cheap against a pretty bad defense in Sacramento. Dante Cunningham, Ian Clark picking up 20 minutes here and there. Darius Miller, 27 minutes. He caught fire in that Houston game, shot really, really well. Any of these guys pique your interest?
You know, I don't hate it in maybe in GPP. I think we probably have better options given the slate. It's not, you know, it's not a four gamer. I'm not really stretched too thin. It's actually kind of juicy, I think, with the games that we have. But I think some of those guys are certainly viable in GPP, and I'm not the type of guy that says everyone is viable. You know, there's got to be some restraint there, because even then I'm more kind of a single entry tournament type of guy. So it's closer to cash. I do like Moore with the minutes that he's getting. I agree with you on Cunningham getting minutes and Miller getting minutes. So that's a little bit of a stretch to me, but I think it's doable because Sacramento, like you said, is bad. And not to jump ahead, but I will say that Sacramento side is kind of making me a little nervous. I saw a lot of people that played Buddy Hield the other night expecting him to do really well, and he basically didn't even touch the ball. Vince Carter came out and crushed it after I thought I saw in the media Sacramento front office saying they were going to give their younger guys more run, which obviously makes sense. Why are you running Vince Carter out there for 30 minutes?
I don't know. De'Aaron Fox, I think, is the one guy that they really are invested in developing. He's been getting 30 plus minutes. You could go to him, but you don't have to. I mean, we've been attacking New Orleans at the point guard position, and it's certainly interesting. The one guy I will say has an interesting price drop here is Bojan Bogdanović, 30 straight minutes, three straight games with over 30 minutes. Now, not a massive amount of usage there. And we saw, Vince Carter take quite a few shots, George Hill take quite a few shots in some of these last couple games. But Bogdan, if he gets the usage and he gets the shots up, he has, he's capable of putting up 30. So I think if you need a cheaper shooting guard, you could go there.
I agree.
Here's the real question. Is AD a lock button play for you at center against this Sacramento team?
I think, I absolutely love Anthony Davis, don't get me wrong. And now the Boogie's out, which, RIP, I love me some Boogie. But 12-5 is hard to swallow, man, even against Sacramento. I'll be honest, I'm one of those guys that really struggles to pay Westbrook's price tag sometimes. And of course, he always, makes me eat crow. But AD, I think he probably has the best ceiling in all of fantasy DFS and basketball DFS. But man, that's tough. I don't know. I would stretch to put him in. I'll say that. I would push to make him your number one target stud, but I wouldn't necessarily make it too. I wouldn't stretch yourself to the point where your lineup is really struggling. Like if you have three guys to hit value in order to fit Anthony Davis, I don't know if I would do it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, 12-5 is a pretty serious price tag. On this slate, though, we have three guys above 12K, and pricing seems to be headed that direction because, you're just getting such consistent usage from these. I'm going to try to fit him in. Maybe it'll just be like just Anthony Davis. You won't be able to jam two studs in there, but it's interesting. I think he just has the clearest path to ceiling of a lot of these guys. So moving over to New York, Brooklyn is going to be in the Garden, 216 total. Knicks are favored by 5, and we have the Brooklyn news. Nobody fret. Nobody freak out about Caris LeVert. I thought Twitter was going to burn down.
I couldn't believe that
when Caris LeVert got scratched.
And the worst part about it is I am embarrassed to say, despite this heater that I really have been on, I did not cash and I did not play Caris LeVert. So I'm the unicorn.
There you go, man. I don't care. There's nothing on Brooklyn right now that I'm particularly interested in. They're very inconsistent of late. I don't know. Would you go with the Quincy Acey min price starting there? He put up decent numbers the other night.
It's not a bad play. I don't mind it in single entries and GPPs. I don't think I could sleep at night if I played Quincy Acey in cash on a slate that was larger than like three or four games. But the guy's definitely going to get that magical, 5X value that we always talk about, but does that necessarily mean the rest of your team is set up to win? I don't know. In order to fit maybe that 12-5, Anthony Davis, I think it's probably a fine play. You got Alan Crabb, who's probably going to have to fill in some minutes. And I don't trust him all that much, but it's not like the Knicks are a super stingy defense, and we have a pretty decent total on this. So I don't mind trying to search for some value here in order to fit some of those other studs in.
I think if you want the minutes floor, it's Spencer Dinwiddie. He's been shooting very poorly, and he's cooled off in a massive way. But we know he's a guy who has a 40-point ceiling. And, I think that's not bad for 5-5 against the Knicks. He's been getting 30 minutes. You could go to Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, and feel comfortable with him. And Damari Carroll, he's the other guy who's going to be consistently getting 30 minutes, and he's not in a bad spot at 5-5. So those would be the two nets that I'm going to play on the Knicks side of things. We don't have any injuries. It looks like we're going to get, Kristaps at full strength and THJ is going to be a full go. They're 6'4" and 8'8" respectively. Thoughts about those two against the Nets here?
I like THJ. I mean, the guy can catch fire, and we know that Brooklyn's defense isn't that great. Now, they're not as fast as last year. I've struggled to kind of flip my mindset on both them and Toronto, who we'll talk about later. Toronto's not nearly as slow as they were last year, right? So I don't mind targeting against Brooklyn, of course. It's not like I don't want to target against them, but something to keep in mind is they're not like a blazing pace as they were last year. But I like THJ. Your call of Spencer Dinwiddie is actually very interesting. I really like that. He's a very talented guy, and I think, honestly, I think it's probably kind of somewhat of a mental thing where you have Russell coming back, so I think maybe he's just a bit nervous or something. I'm not really sure what it is, but he's talented, and he's very cheap right now.
Yeah, that price is really, really nice. And against the Knicks, you know, we've been at targeting point guards against the Knicks for a long time. They're bottom five in DVP to the position. So you mentioned THJ. There's going to be a THJ 30, 40-point game here coming up at some point, so long as he's actually healthy enough. You know, I think my biggest question is how healthy is he? If he sat out, you know, that game in Denver or whatever the case may be, how really healthy is THJ in this situation? So that kind of concerns me. On the Knicks side, I don't mind Kristaps at this price. 8-8 isn't terrible. You're asking him for over 40 against a Brooklyn team that really struggles in the front court. We just saw Kat drop a 60 burger on them. So I think you could get over 40 points from him, right?
I think that's absolutely a good point. And you know, the thing is that I find that he is often paired on slates with Anthony Davis. Or maybe even some other guys like, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, maybe even a Blake or something like that. And he just kind of gets forgotten about, which to me makes him a really great tournament play. When you have guys that are higher priced, but not quite full priced, I think people struggle to justify paying that. They think inside their head, well, why not just go all the way up? Right.
Right.
So, my one concern with him is it was a while back, a couple weeks ago, where he came out and was just kind of like, man, I'm tired. You know, yeah. I'm doing so much for this team. And ideally, having THJ back is kind of helping him loosen that load a little bit. But, you know, it makes me a little nervous for cash, but it's a fantastic matchup. And he is definitely under what I would imagine his like medium price to be.
Yeah, that's really good call. I am looking at some of these numbers about Brooklyn in the front court. Literally on the slate, no team allowing a greater point differential above average plus three to the power forward. Massive efficiency difference to the four to the power forward as well. And then they're second in line behind Sacramento to the center. So whether he's lining up at the four or the five, you know, he's got a wonderful matchup. It's just a question of fitting him in. I mean, if you want one of these 12-5 guys, whether it's a Russ or an AD, it's going to be hard to fit him in. And that to me is a real concern. Let's look at this Minnesota-Toronto game. You mentioned this team, Toronto. Both of these teams are playing just phenomenally in offensive efficiency, just absolutely killing it right now. Both teams in a top five in offensive efficiency have been playing really, really well this year. We got a 218 total here. Toronto favored by 6 at home. What do you think? What do you think of that line? Yeah, what does that line tell you? That to me,
I'm really shocked. That's a really high total for that matchup. If I were a betting man, which shockingly I'm really not, but if I were, I would probably bet the under on that. Yeah. As far as the spread, I don't know. But again, this goes back to my mentality that I was saying earlier that I just can't seem to get past. Toronto is playing much faster this year than they did last year. They're getting up more shots, they're getting more possessions, and they're shooting more three-pointers. They're kind of finally graduating and evolving into what the NBA has been for a while.
Right.
And then you got Minnesota, who I think we all kind of thought would be a bit better defensively once they got Jimmy Butler and they got Thibs, and you get that reunion there. And, you know, Kat is actually a shockingly terrible individual defender, but he's a pretty good team defender. Wiggins is long and athletic. So I don't know. I mean, Toronto is definitely a team that you can shockingly attack, but
yeah,
it just depends on what direction you want to go with it. I like this game. It's very interesting. And shockingly enough, I think if people don't pay attention to the total that Vegas has on it, it might go overlooked a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's actually right. I think this game actually, what I'm surprised by, to be honest with you, is not necessarily the 218 total. I think it makes sense to me. The 218 total makes sense to me. What I find really, really, really shocking is the spread that Toronto is getting, is favored by 6 at home is really, really interesting to me. That's a big number for them.
I was going to say, good, 6 isn't small.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a big number for them against a good Minnesota team. But I guess, you know, back to back, Toronto plays well at home in Toronto. So let's talk about this, because I think this is not only a good game to be watching on national television, but a game that you're going to want to have some exposure to. On the Toronto side of things, I would love to attack Andrew Wiggins with DeMar DeRozan. Do you feel like that's probably where Jimmy is going to draw? Is Jimmy going to draw that matchup?
I would hope so. It just depends. This is kind of a totally anecdotal observation. I have not put any data behind this or anything like that, but I'm convinced that a lot of these guys, when they're on a back-to-back, they are absolutely looking ahead a matchup, and they're thinking about who they're going to be guarding the next night. And so I would base some of what happens tonight, I would take that into account for what's going to happen tomorrow. If Jimmy is going, now granted, Jimmy is always very much an effort player. I love that guy. He plays really hard, just like Russell Westbrook and stuff. So I could see him, regardless of how hard he goes tonight, lining up against DeRozan tomorrow and just saying, you know, bring it on. I'm going to lock him down. Good luck trying to beat us now. But at the same time, you know, if he's guarded by Andrew Wiggins, which, as we know, NBA is not just a one-to-one, and I think people playing FanDuel kind of get locked into that mentality sometimes. If he's up against Wiggins, that could actually be pretty juicy. I wouldn't mind taking him. He's under 9K right now. They're well-rested. They're at home, like you said. He could do some damage. I'm actually pretty interested, and it's a volatile play, don't get me wrong, but I am actually very interested in Jonas Valanciunas.
Really?
Center for Toronto.
Yeah.
I have a man crush on that guy. He is a giant, and he is like, he is huge. He's just so massive, and he's very talented offensively, and he's good at getting rebounds. And like I said earlier, Cat is shockingly not a good individual defender. And my thing is, Toronto, I've noticed that Casey, you know, he's sketchy with his minutes and how he allots them, the coach for Toronto. Sure. But when they are up against like a good big man where they're going to actually need the size, he tends to run Joe Val out a little bit more. Now don't play him in cash. He's very sketchy, but he has an incredible ceiling for the price that he has usually. So,
yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. It's a tough thing to project when you know when will Valanciunas get those minutes. I think on the Toronto side, one guy I might be comfortable with is Kyle Lowry in this situation. You know, I mean, we just for example, Dennis Schroeder just threw up 36 points against Jeff Teague in this spot. You know, we know Kyle Lowry is reliably going to get 32 minutes. He's been very consistent this year, you know, in so far as so long as he gets the minutes and he's in a decent matchup, he's going to probably give you a floor of about 30 points. You know, last five, he's averaged 32. He's at over a fantasy point per minute on the season. I think that he's a safe play if you wanted to kind of go to a little bit more balance. What about the Minnesota side? What about the Minnesota side? Anything?
So the thing is, with Minnesota, I mean, Wiggins, I'm playing him tonight, and he's actually doing very well for me right now. But my concern is Jimmy Butler playing on a back-to-back. I know earlier this year he's had some knee issues. Like, I don't know. I don't love it. They don't have anyone that can guard him, though, if he really wants to go. Toronto does have athletic bigger guys, but Jimmy's not that big. Like, they have him listed at, you know, small forward, but quite honestly, he's really more of like a strong shooting guard. DeRozan's not going to guard him with any sort of like actual difficulty or anything like that. So Jimmy's a decent stud to pay up for. That'll probably be really low owned. I don't love Wiggins on a back-to-back. I think Cat is reasonable, but again, he's going to be low owned because people are just going to be looking elsewhere with that salary. So things to keep in mind. I don't mean to say it in a bad way. It's make for great GPP plays. They'll put up good numbers and they'll be low owned, but I don't think they're necessarily cash worthy for me.
No, I kind of agree with you. I think the appeal of this game to me is really that it I think it'll stay competitive. But I don't know necessarily that I can, you know, that I'm really going to stack it up. I think Jimmy is interesting in a competitive game. I think DeMar DeRozan is interesting in a competitive game. I will say the one thing I will say, Toronto have been very good against the small forward position and not so good against the two guard because of DeRozan. But OG Anunoby is just huge.
That's who I was trying to think of.
7 foot wingspan. Yeah, so he's not going to play more than 24 minutes, but he's going to really, really throw the book at you defensively. In fact, they're averaging, below minus 3 points to the position, below average for the small forward. So not exactly my favorite spot, but I do like Jimmy in a competitive game. I'm going to watch this game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call out. I like that a lot. I would probably I would avoid Minnesota, honestly, unless you're playing tournaments. You want to throw a few darts out there. Yeah, I wouldn't stack them. But I will say I agree with you. The total is shocking and Toronto spread is shocking.
Yeah, which makes you favor a little bit on the Toronto side. Like get some Toronto in your life. Cleveland at Detroit. And of course, we got to talk about Detroit here and the potential for a blow. Cleveland favored only by 2, though. which says a lot after they're shipping off 2 starters, 218 total in this one, Cleveland favored by 2. Do you see, I mean, this is Vegas doesn't see it, but I don't know if this line is going to react to the Blake news. And what I mean by the Blake news is that we're not going to have any Tobias Harris or any Avery Bradley in the lineup. What are your thoughts about, blowout potential in this game?
I think it's there. I think we have a very interesting spot. So, like, just like the other night where there were a lot of Detroit value plays that just I played Anthony Tolliver. I was shocked how low he was owned, but he just
– yeah.
I got lucky. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I thought he would get value. I did not think he would go for, like, a season or career high or whatever it was. But I think we're in one of those sweet spots where a trade happens. The guy who's coming to the team is likely not going to be active. However, the people that they are losing are also not going to be active. And so generally what we try and do is attack teams that have very limited amount of starters because they're often always very cheap as well. And so even though these guys obviously aren't very good, they're still going to have plenty of minutes to actually produce. And Cleveland's defense, as we know, unfortunately for me being a giant LeBron fan, they are horrendous. And so I think we have, Reggie Bullock. We have some plays here for sure. And they're going to be value plays, but it's not going to be pretty.
No, I think you're right, though. I think we go back to Reggie Bullock. You know, he's kind of a stat sheet stuffer. He's not going to have a massive usage rate, but he's comfortable getting rebounds, getting assists, a couple steals from him here and there. He's not going to have anybody to compete with. I'm interested in Luke Kennard. You may see Luke Kennard start. I mean, Stan Van Gundy likes him. He's given him 25, 26 minutes. You may see Luke Kennard start. And, you know, this is a kid who he can shoot. I mean, that's for sure.
It's very true. I just randomly read something the other day where, and I didn't know this, and I went to high school in Ohio, where Luke Kennard actually had more points at some sort of high school in Ohio than LeBron did in his high school career. I think Luke Kennard might hold the record or something.
Wow, that's impressive. And I mean, we're attacking Cleveland full tilt. I mean, no doubt about it. They literally, all of the numbers for Detroit that I'm looking here in my matchup sheet are bright. Like everything is good. They are second only to Sacramento in how bad their defense is on the slate in total defensive efficiency. So. Yeah, I think we go to some value plays in Detroit, expecting a pretty thin roster. Wait for some news, maybe wait for starters if you can. But I would expect you're going to get plenty of runs, like you said, from Anthony Tolliver, from
Reggie Bullock. maybe Reggie even a Bullock. Stanley Johnson or something. Like Detroit, yeah, this is going to be the key to getting your Anthony Davis into your lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just have the Detroit starters plus Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. On the Cleveland side of things, it makes you a little bit worried that you're going to be playing second stringers here. Can you go LeBron, even though he's been very consistent against Detroit this year? I think he's got over 50 in both matchups that they've had.
He's under 12K. You know, I love LeBron in cash. He's basically like the epitome of a great cash game play, which is something I always like. Add in the fact that I just have a massive man crush on this guy. You know, he makes for a good play. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be my number one stud target because, like we were saying, it's all going to be second line guys like the other night, except now it's even less people available probably because they don't have Harris to go to or anyone like that. So it'll be interesting. You know, Ish Smith might be a guy I play, I guess, but LeBron is going to be touchy. I'm not sure. Tristan Thompson, I hope, is not going to be the chalk center again, but I actually haven't looked to see.
Although I don't really like him against Detroit. I'm not going to play a guy against, you know, someone who Drummond's not going to let you have those any of those 50-50 rebounds. So I don't know. I could see myself going back to J.R. Smith. I played him against Detroit in that game. He's not going to have to deal with even Avery Bradley defense at this point. And he seems intent on getting up some more shots with that starting unit. So
yeah, I like that.
I don't mind him. But there's plenty of value on the Detroit side. So we'll absolutely be looking at that. OKC at Washington, 219 total here. OKC favored by 3.5. I would expect this line to move. John Wall is doubtful. This game was decently competitive. If you remember this one, this was last Thursday. We saw this game in Oklahoma City. Decently competitive only because Washington made it a game in the third quarter, but they were getting blown out by Oklahoma City in the first half. They came back. Bradley Beal dropped a 60-burger on them. And we have no Andre Roberson, no John Wall. Do we have to play Bradley Beal again, or are we just inviting Paul George to shut him down?
See, so that's the thing, you know. I think Paul George is really taking this as a challenge to step up defensively. And I watched their game the other day, the first game, without Roberson. And Paul George looked phenomenal, I'm not going to lie. But he is just an interesting player if you watch him, even dating back to his Indiana days. It's like he's got a switch, and he needs to be into the game in order to actually play well. Whereas you have Russell Westbrook, he's always going to play well unless he gets into some sort of foul trouble or something. So that's an interesting one. Bradley Beal, if you look historically, Wall's actually missed a decent amount of games this year. And so it seems to be very hot or cold. There have been nights where Wall wasn't playing and I played Beal thinking, oh, this is a lock, I got to get him in. And he really was mediocre at best. But then, like you said, the other night, he absolutely blew up against them, and he was just – he couldn't miss. Right. So, you know, it's somewhat risky. I think it just depends on where people start to lean, because I kind of tend to sway in the wind with the chalk for the most part when I'm playing cash games. So I think Beal is probably a good play in this game. I think Otto Porter might be reasonable. You know, it just depends, but maybe even a Marcus Morris, or maybe it's Markieff. I'm not sure which one plays.
I was going to say Markieff for me is very interesting in this spot. His price is still climbing up there. I mean, remember, this was a guy who was at 7.5K at some points last season because of how consistent he was from three and, you know, double digit rebounds on the regular.
Yeah. He's talented.
He is, and he can get hot, and this is a situation where he's not going to be afraid to shoot the ball. OKC's defense is phenomenal, you know, and so you don't really have any margins here where you're saying, like, oh, this is a great spot to attack the power forward, or it's a great spot to – on paper, it's not a great spot. But I think
– their defense is just so good. I mean, it's not like Melo's out there locking anyone down, but I'll tell you, their team defense, their help defense – you know, even though Roberson's out, they got that, I think his name's Grant or something in. He's super long, bouncy, athletic. And Steven Adams has been playing out of his mind lately.
Yeah, that would be a guy. And we'll talk about the OKC side here. I love Steven Adams in this situation. you know, centers against Washington have been a thing because Marcin Gortat can really only go now for about 20 minutes until he becomes a liability. And they really now are going to a lot of these more small ball lineups with Markieff at the center, which just basically allows any true center to have a massive mismatch for probably anywhere close to 10 minutes a game. So Steven Adams to me at 7,100, really, really reliable, safe floor, cash game type guy. I know you probably feel similarly.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, when they go smaller, it's allowing for, sorry, I keep bouncing back and forth, but it's just, you're bringing up so many good points and it makes me think of the other side. When Washington goes smaller, like we were talking about with Keith, they also play a lot of Oubre and Otto Porter. And so it's not like you have to necessarily choose one or the other if you feel like doing a crazy game stack for a GPP or something. But, I mean, the total's high enough to where this could actually be reasonable. It's at Washington. You know, you get your Beal in there. Maybe you play another guy and then bring it back with Russell or something like that. I don't mind that at all. But I agree with you on Steven Adams. Watching him the other night, I mean, I think I read somewhere where he had a double-double if you only counted his offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
I saw that. That was impressive. You know, the one thing I will say is we do have to consider Tomas Satoransky and Tim Frazier just because of the value that they provide. And we skipped that in the Washington side of things. Tim Frazier put up quite a few points against Atlanta, but it really seems like they're going to kind of split those minutes 50-50, 24-24. Satoransky will start. He's been effective. He's had a nice floor. I would still lean Satoransky just because I think he's a little bit more competent and I think he's got the coach's trust. If Frazier's not playing well, Satoransky is going to finish that game and I think he's just probably got a, you know, a better path to value. So he would be one of the guys that I go to. What about Russ here in this situation? He put up 63 against this team. He's 12-5 now, which would, you know, you would want 63 on the nose for that price. What do you think about him in this spot? No John Wall. Washington's defense has struggled, and they have the most consistent fantasy asset in DFS.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's a road game. If this were at home, I would probably think more about fading Russ, but you know, I could see it almost being one of those types of games where he's concerned about being the facilitator, getting his guys comfortable in what should be, you know, not an easy win, but a win that they can certainly get. However, with it being on the road, I can see him kind of going into attack mode and just going nuts. And so I think I actually might want him more than Anthony Davis. I don't know. This is really tough. I mean, they're both the same price and they're both in incredible matchups.
Right.
That's really going to be the key. And I think you could legitimately, reasonably build a line with either one. Or maybe get crazy and squeeze in both, I guess, if you want to get greedy. But that's tough. You know, I really like Russell. To your point earlier about Satoransky, something else to keep in mind is, like I was saying earlier, the FanDuel stats where you get 3 points for a steal this year. As much as I love Russell, he is slightly turnover prone. He's going to be on the road. He might get into some crazy, you know, okay, Bradley Beal, you just hit a shot. Now I'm going to go down here and try and hit a shot and do something crazy and forget that I even have a team. And so he might be able to give up a few turnovers, hopefully not hurt his total line too much, but really help Satoransky and or Frazier hit that value, getting those steals and stuff like that almost by chance. But I think Russell's good.
I just like Satoransky's his game. I think that he's just a little bit more balanced and he's going to provide more than just scoring. And Tim Frazier, now if Tim Frazier takes a starting job, then we have a little bit more to worry about. You know, if he showed something, then okay, fine. But, you know, he's been very inconsistent this year. Golden State at Utah. This one is a 218 total. Golden State favored by 7. Key injury that we're looking at here is Rodney Hood out. He hasn't really played much at all. And so we see a lot of Rubio at the one, Don Mitchell at the two for about 30 minutes each of late. Rudy Gobert back with the vengeance, put up 46 fantasy points in his last outing. Those would be the three guys that I would concentrate my interest in.
Yep.
Any thoughts about those three, order of preference? If you think that, do you feel like any of these guys have a game here against Golden State? I feel like guys show up when Golden State's on the schedule.
Absolutely. It's the Super Bowl, right? You're always playing the former champion as best as you can, I feel like. And plus, this is at home. And I think a lot of people are surprised by Utah this year. You know, they obviously lost their primary superstar last year. And so I think they got somewhat lucky with Mitchell. Not everyone saw that guy coming out of nowhere, but he has been absolutely phenomenal. And I always like Rudy Gobert. On FanDuel, it's a little tough to swallow, I'll be honest, just because you only get to play one center. And so he might not make the cut for me. If it were like other positions where I'm playing two, I'd probably think about him. I think Mitchell is a sneaky play, though. You know, Golden State, Clay was known for his defense in previous years, but shooting guard has actually been kind of good against Golden State this year. And point guards are always pretty decent against them as well. So I could see Rubio coming out, getting plenty of helpers, you know, double-digit assists, maybe even some slams to Gobert or Mitchell, you know. But I like pretty much any of those guys, but I would probably put Gobert last. And just by the way that the build of the lineup for tomorrow looks, I think I'd probably put Mitchell first, because okay. I think there are other point guards that I would rank over Rubio, but I certainly would not fault anyone for going that route.
Yeah, I think that's sharp. I like that call. Gobert to me is interesting only because you feel like there's a lot of scoring in the paint potential. There has been a lot of potential for buckets in the paint this year against Golden mm-hmm. State. He's the kind of guy that with the pace up situation could rack up 4 or 5 extra rebounds just on extra possessions alone. So that's interesting to me, but I agree with Mitchell. You know, he could even easily get shut down, but this could be a game where, you know, he just shows up and decides that he wants to show out. And we've seen 40 point potential from him and he's reasonably priced. Portland at the Clippers. Oh, sorry. Golden State side of things. Anything for you? Massive pace. I mean, pace down situation. They're on the road. I don't know.
I got to be honest. You know, when they're all healthy, I tend to avoid them. You know, the other night I kind of paid for that a little bit because Steph and Draymond were somewhat chalky and Steph went nuts and Dre did pretty well as well. But the problem is that you're somewhat playing roulette with the big three. Like, I'm not counting Clay. Sure. If you have Draymond, KD, and Steph, like, you kind of got to just roll the dice and guess on one, maybe two of them. But all three of them almost never go off, and they certainly wouldn't go off against Utah at Utah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really smart point. It feels like a 40-point outing for all of them. You're going to overpay and kind of kick yourself. Portland at the Clippers, 221 total here. This number was huge. I was impressed by this. And the Clippers are favored by 2, which I have a feeling that line might get adjusted with the Blake situation. But it's just disrespectful to the Trailblazers. with no Blake, here are the numbers that we're looking at. Because we've seen no Blake this year. So we have a decent sample size to work with. Obviously leading the way is Sweet Lou at 1.19 fantasy points per minute with 35% usage. Right behind him is DJ at 1.1. Montrezl Harrell, man. I mean, Montrezl Harrell has proven that he can handle the minutes. Doc trusts him. True. He's been about a fantasy point per minute. So those are the core three guys that I'm looking at. Any thoughts on your part about Clippers that you may want to get in there with without Russ or without Blake.
I'll be honest, I like all of them. I think the Montrezl Harrell play is very sharp. You know, I like that a lot. I don't know if everyone will remember how good he has been, you know, when Blake hasn't been there, but I like that a lot. Big fan of DJ and his game just in general. I mean, it's rebounds and putbacks, you know, but I don't hate that at all. I kind of like it. I think Lou Williams is still kind of feeling a little bit jaded from the All-Star thing. You know, he's a reasonable play. I like attacking Portland backcourts. Plus, they have this massive total. I mean, that's just incredible to me. So I don't mind any of those plays. I actually also really like Teodosic, if I'm saying that right. Yep. Milos.
Yep.
Milo. I like that guy. His game is great. He's pretty consistent. He gets okay numbers. He gets okay minutes. You know, he's not overly flashy, but he's less than 5K, you know, like, what do you expect? He's in a solid matchup. He's going to have to do a little bit more. He's going to have to set his guys up for easier shots than before, maybe. Blake did a lot of ball handling and a lot of, you know, point forward type of play. And so I think more of that usage, not in terms of shots necessarily, but actual ball control will fall on Milos's lap. So I like him a lot as well.
Yeah, I think that's sharp. He's had a couple games, and you know, the reality is like he's got the pedigree. I just haven't really, I'm waiting for him to kind of present like a Ricky Rubio type 10 and 10 stat line on a regular basis. Yeah. And you know, in the last month, he's had a 21% usage rate. So he is third on this team behind, you know, Lou, Montrezl Harrell, and then Milos. And DJ actually just doesn't have that very high usage rate. So you never really look at that.
He touches the ball for 0.5 seconds while he throws it into the hoop from like 8 feet in the air.
Exactly. So I think you could go to a lot of those guys. And against Portland, I'm not particularly interested in attacking them because their defense has been pretty good, but this line tells me a lot. I could get some value. I could get interested in Montrezl Harrell, as you mentioned, for sure. And Lou Williams, of course, he's a bucket getter. On the Portland side of things, you know, the Clippers defense has been pretty bad and pretty easy to attack them. Especially in the backcourt. You want to attack them in the backcourt. You want to attack them with your point guards, your shooting guards, and of course your three. I don't really like Evan Turner. I could see some people playing him. He's back off that injury. But I think this might be an interesting CJ McCollum spot, just kind of providing a nice floor, a nice late hammer. Guys are probably a guy that's going to go overlooked. Maybe even a Damian Lillard if you find the money. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Dame and CJ in this situation?
I don't mind CJ. I got to tell you, from just a pure basketball standpoint, not necessarily DFS, this team kind of drives me crazy. I feel like I might be a bit in the minority where I feel as though Dame is actually kind of overrated. And I don't think that he has been snubbed that hard in the past few years where everyone is outraged and stuff. I mean, the West is very talented. You know, I'm not saying that Dame is a scrub by any means, but like when I watch him play, there's a reason that, you know, the center that they got from Denver, what is his name again? I'm having a blank. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Nurkic. They got Nurkic, like at first last year, he was phenomenal, right? If you look this year, when Dame and Nurkic have played together, Nurkic is like nothing. He's terrible because Dame just like dribbles the ball to death and then puts up a shot that's pretty tough. And like, yeah, he might make a lot of them and get buckets and stuff, but I'm not convinced that he makes anyone around him better. And I don't think that team is all that great with both of those guys. I think it's just kind of a tough to find an identity for them, to be honest with you. They play a lot of ISO ball and I don't love it. Yeah. I think Dame's a little too expensive. He tends to kind of fluctuate when he has a couple good games. He gets outpriced for me. I like him in the low eights, which is rare when he's there, but I also almost never play him. I think McCollum is sharp, though. I like that play a lot. It's not like Lou Williams is playing a lot of defense. The Clippers, you know, I thought they were going to change their identity and be this gritty, grindy team when they played the Rockets and acted all tough. And no, they really haven't changed that much. I mean, they're good with the guys that they have. Don't get me wrong. I'm very impressed by that. But, you know, they're not like, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies of old or anything like that.
Yeah, I think if I'm going anywhere in Portland, it's probably to some of the value guys that we talked about, you know, on the Clippers side of the ball. Montrezl Harrell at 4-1 is a really, really nice way to end the night. And, you know, I could go to CJ at 7-5, but 7-5 is a high price to pay on a slate when you have a bunch of guys that are above 12K that you may want to get in your lineup. So not my favorite. The one guy I will say, by the way, Tyrone Wallace. I mean, he's still playing 30 minutes a night.
Yeah,
he's going to probably struggle a little bit with the perimeter defense, but he's only 4-4, reasonable price. If you want to pivot away for some of the more chalky guys, he's an interesting one to go with.
I would monitor his status just in case. I feel like I might have saw something either today or yesterday with him. So I would just monitor his status. But if he's healthy, I don't mind him as a valuable play because of the minutes that he gets. And he's a good defender, too.
Yeah. No, he's good. It's Gallinari. Gallinari is potentially questionable. He's questionable. He's been out forever, but, you know, he's coming in questionable, I guess. I don't think we're going to see him.
I must have saw someone else. I mean, that's a pretty common last name. I must be thinking of someone else.
Biggest line of the night, Orlando at Houston, 223 total. Houston favored by 13. I mean, as if the Magic couldn't have like a more of a waste of a season. They have, you know, they have to go out and show up for this game, just disappoint everyone. The one thing I will say, Trevor Ariza out with a hamstring. That's interesting to me. Where do you gravitate without Trevor Ariza in the starting lineup? What do you instantly think of?
I think most people think PJ Tucker. But I think Houston's better with Mbamute, who I think is just an incredible defender, but he's a better scorer than Tucker is. So they got the pretty good 3-and-D guys, but Ariza out. You know, you got to think about Eric Gordon maybe getting some blowout minutes and maybe even running point for a while. So that they don't run Harden and Paul into the ground or anything. Real quick on that Clippers game, I think I was thinking of CJ Williams, the other shooting guard for them. I got my W last names mixed up, so I apologize.
That's all right.
But for the Orlando Houston game, I mean, this is a train wreck. I'm scared for Houston.
I'm scared
for Orlando, and I probably am scared to play it in Houston, guys, maybe.
I think Eric Gordon is interesting. I think Gerald Green might be our blowout proof guy off the bench. He could be your three off the bench where they just let him go. Cause this is a game where he can score against this team at will.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who could return well value. He and Eric Gordon, I think, are two interesting names. Obviously, Chris Paul and James Harden are both going to score at least 40 fantasy points. The question is, with the other names on this slate, do you need them or are we overthinking this? I mean, if this is three, are we taking for granted that James Harden could get you 50 in three quarters against the Magic, right? I mean, that's possible, isn't it?
I will say that I am very much guilty of this mindset where it's like, okay, I'm going to avoid this blowout or this potential blowout. But then, you know, you could easily argue the other side and say, well, how are they going to get in the position to be blowing out this other team? The studs on that team have to do really well in order to be blowing them out, right? And so it's just a matter of how bad we think it's going to be, how quickly. You know, Orlando's been rough, and it's at Houston. Poor Vooch has been out. You know, Elf is just horrendous on defense. So it's a tough one.
Thing,
I do
the
like
one
Gerald
thing Green. I will That's say. Sort of, yeah, Gerald Green is interesting. The one thing I will say, I just saw this game. Chris Paul has game time tag. He's got a groin. Yeah, he's got a sore groin. They said it's nothing serious. Who knows? But if you were going to sit out a game to get your groin right, this is it. This is it. It's out of the conference. It's a walk in the park with James Harden healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, this would be the game on the road where, or sure, they're at home where D'Antoni says, you know what, just sit this one out. We'll get you for the next one. Eric Gordon goes to the point. My guess is for a lot of that second unit, he's 5,400. I'm beginning to like Eric Gordon more and more.
Swinging me on this. I might be lock buttoning Eric Gordon if Chris Paul's out.
If Chris Paul is out, yes, I'm hitting that. Yes. I just love Gerald Green, bucket getter, 3,900. He's interesting. Tournaments, he's an interesting punt. He's the kind of punt that can score you 30 points. So
how was he not on a team?
He wasn't, because he was, remember, he spent last year on Boston, and he was on a veteran one-year veteran minimum deal, and he was just out there floating around. I mean, I think he's the kind of guy that you have to have a need for him to, like, you got to have that veteran space.
Yeah,
on there.
Athletic small forward who's not really shooting the three very well, not great on defense, not an amazing place for him in this league today. So.
Yeah,
But if there is a place for him, it's on a D'Antoni offense.
Yep. All right. Let's take a look over here at the, let's take a look at FanDuel. We want to go through the lineup process here, Dan.
It.
You know, Josh and I always do this on the Thursday show. We'll go draft style. We'll pick, I'll pick one, you pick one. We'll go back and forth. We'll see where we end up here.
Sure.
I'm going to let you start. You're the guest, obviously, so I'm going to let you kick it off. Who are you interested in?
I will throw you a bit of a bone here and allow you to pick a nice stud, or maybe put the pressure on you to pick a nice stud. I'm actually kind of debating between a few value point guards. De'Aaron Fox, Deontay Murray, Ish Smith. I really like all of those guys. I got to be honest with you, I might go with the late night. Yeah. No, I think, you know what, I'm going to go with Ish Smith. I think he had a bad run against Cleveland at Cleveland. He was getting some bad foul calls against him. I think he's going to bounce back.
All right, I like that call. I mean, we've got a lot of value at point guard, so I'm going to hesitate to go to Russ. I think that there's just too many good plays on the point guard
there
slate.
There are a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, knowing that, I'm going to swing down to... I'm going to swing down a power forward. I'm going to go to AD. I'm going to go high. I think we're going to have the money to keep him in there against Sacramento. I think he's a safe high floor play here, even though at 12.5, that price tag is a little bit daunting, but let's see where we get after that.
I think
that.
It's doable for sure. I like that a lot. I'll move up to shooting guard, and we'll assume that Wall is going to sit out, and we'll go ahead and put in Beal. He's just under 8K. I feel like that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice deal at home.
I might have to change. You know, if we want to.
No. I think I see where this is going. I see where this is going. I think we have. I think we have to think of some of these Detroit guys, Reggie Bullock, right there at small forward at 3,800. You take one of these, you know, free square type values in this Cleveland Detroit game. Terrible defense, tons of minutes and usage coming up. I think you got to go there.
I think that's reasonable. Let's see. I'm looking at power forward 2 for us. I'm debating between Harrell is just so cheap now. And we were talking about, honestly, I mean, I was thinking about Tolliver. I don't see him repeating what he did the other night. And Harrell is only $300 more. And they both are in really good spots where they're going to be needed. So I think I'm going to go ahead and put Harrell in at power forward 2.
Okay, great. I love that. I think Harrell's a nice... I like having something in that last game of the night, too.
I agree.
All right. We're at 6,500. See, it's a very reasonable price tag. We have a couple point guards here at 55, which I think are interesting. So I'm going to take one of these. Well... I can't decide if I want to go Satoransky or if I want to go like with a Dinwiddie.
This could be tricky.
What do you think? Satoransky? I think you got to go Dinwiddie. Well, you like Satoransky?
I do. Well, you know, I mean, like you said, Frazier really put up a big line, but we have to think that he got 3 blocks. I mean, that seems really crazy. And a steal. And so that's almost like 12 bonus points right there.
Right. Right. I mean, 4 real life points. The man had 4 real life points. And this is Atlanta, right? I mean, this is
against the guard.
That's not a good team. And that I think you're right. I think you're right to say like okay, it's not that may not be a real performance, so you take Satoransky because it's a much more reasonable line. Or you go Dinwiddie just because you're going to have so much more usage there against New York.
I love the Dinwiddie call. I think he's going to be incredibly low on. Right. I say we just put it in for funsies.
Right. Yeah, let's put Dinwiddie in there. Let's see what we get. We now have shooting guard, small forward, and a center left. And we have a decent number to spend here, 6,700 on those 3 positions. I'll swing it to you.
Shooting guard is looking pretty juicy, I'm not going to lie.
It really is. It really is.
My goodness. You know what? I will continue to afford you some value, and I am going to hope that CP3 is out, and I'll put in Eric Gordon in that blowout.
Yeah. I really love do. That.
You Eric got me Gordon. On that. That would sell yeah. on the end there. If CP3 is out, it's just 5,400. I mean, the guy, I want to say he got up over 7K earlier this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could easily go for 35 against the Magic here.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a bit of a one-trick pony, but, man, he can get buckets.
Yeah, dude, that trick is burying three-pointers. I love that trick. All right. We got a small forward spot here. I think the responsible thing to do is go Otto Porter, but I almost want to go I hate Otto Porter.
I do too.
I love him as a real life basketball player, but I hate him as a fantasy asset. Like
ruins slates. There's been multiple times where all of a sudden Otto Porter has like 50 fantasy points in the third quarter, and I'm like, what the hell?
Right. Or he's like, this is a great Otto Porter spot, and he's like 20. 7 at the half. You're like, fuck.
That's so perfect. That's so true. Seven. You know, I don't want to sway you. This is your pick. But I will say the OKC total was pretty decent, and dating back to last year, you have more of the numbers. I should look at the numbers more. So I don't know if BVP is there for this, but I tend to really like playing wings against the Wizards.
Yeah.
And Paul George has been playing pretty dang good lately.
Yeah, and that leaves us 6,400 at the center position, which is a little bit thin. That's a little bit of a thin number. But
oh, that's true.
Here, well, let's...
You know what? I can... Let me look at adjusting my ish pick.
Well, hold on. I got something for you. You ready for this? I got something here. I'm going to get off of Harrell, and I'm going to go Kristaps. Okay?
Whoa.
Okay. Yep. Okay, and I've got 5K at the center. I'm going to go to another cheap small forward, and this is a little bit, this is getting just weird. You could either go Stanley Johnson or Gerald Green, but I'm going to go Gerald Green. And I got 62
like it.
Center. I don't know if that's going to work. Maybe Jonas Valanciunas then, you know? That's an interesting spot for Valanciunas.
I like Joe Val a lot tomorrow. This is a good little tournament lineup. I like this a lot.
You build, you break down. You start part of the process for me is always, and I'm sure you're the same, is it's like, okay, build something up, see how it fits together. And then you say, no. I have to have these guys. I do not need these guys. Get them out of there. Let's try something, you know, and
absolutely.
That's how you get there.
Absolutely. I do that all the time. I'm a fiddler.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun slate. It absolutely is. Nine gamer, good size, plenty of options, and plenty of value to be had. So really a lot of interesting possible construction. Should be some high scores out there. So guys, good luck. Dan, I thank you for coming on. Guys, you can follow Dan at Big Bear DFS on Twitter. Dan, anything else you are working on? I know you've been working with the guys at Top Notch. You want to tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, JDM is my basketball partner. Excuse me. He's my partner for NBA this year. And, we just had an idea to kind of casually put out a site, write some content. I really enjoy writing. And so we decided to put something out there where we could kind of share our thoughts via free articles. It's nothing fancy. I mean, it's a blog website essentially, but, we built a bit of a following. We have a lot of people who have taken a lot of our content and done very well with it, dating back to the NFL season as well. And so it's just for fun as of right now. We might try and expand it a little bit next year. I'd really like to get into other media like this. You do a phenomenal job on these podcasts, and I thank you very much for inviting me onto this. It's a really good time every time. So I love chatting basketball with somebody who knows their stuff, and that's certainly you.
I appreciate it, man. Well, it is absolutely a pleasure having you on, guys. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, find that top-notch content. Great value reads, great regular everyday, reads of free content. Absolutely worth checking that stuff out. Dan, it's been fun. Of course, these lineups are going to change 400% by tomorrow when we find out that half of the slate has been scratched at 6:55 like we did today.
Yep.
Hey, man, good luck. Keep in touch, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Sean. Be well, man.